Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Nikki Stone Show podcast.
So that's you, Debbie Schweitzer.
That's me sounding like a little baby singing.
And you do sound young. So you're a singer as well?
Yes, I've been singing for over 40 years, 45.
Maybe. Wow. And yeah. How many CDs do you have out? Is that just one?
Well, I made a cassette a long time ago in somebody's bathroom up in Mountaintop because, I was not a very wealthy person. And we figured out a way to do it. Of course, we can't use that. But then I did this other one. Oh, gosh. I can't think of the man's name. And he used to work here in his studio.
L.A. Toronto?
No, he has a studio up in Dallas.
They used to work here.
Yeah, a radio personality. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I did that one with him. But the one that I did, see, I don't play music. I only sing. Mm-hmm. And so I did a bunch of my favorite songs and used the soundtracks. But there's one song that I have on there that I wrote and someone performed for me called Grandma Cinnamon Buns. And it's kind of like my testimony, which is what my book is.
Your book is your testimony. Yeah. The book is Society's Child. Now, I find this, the subtitle to it interesting because yesterday I said there's a bunch of lies in this world that we're told and we buy into. And I think some of those are minding my own business. Because I think that's the way that people just, it's their excuse for not helping or reaching out to say, hey, are you okay today? Mm. That's just one of them. It's none of your business being the opposite of that in a way, because most people who say it's none of your business have something to hide. I don't need to be involved. I don't want to be involved. Well, if you don't get involved and the next person doesn't get involved, who's getting involved? Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So those are lies. But the subtitle to your book is called The Truth About Lies. Mm-hmm.
The Truth About the Lies, yeah.
About the lies.
Yeah, because when I found out what I was being told over a period of 10 years, and I was a very pro-choice person.
See, this is a true story about Debbie. She was a 1960s, 70s small town nobody just trying to be a somebody. This naive but confident young woman found her lessons for life from TV, movies, magazines, and strangers. Looking only to be accepted and loved, this clueless soul made desperate choices and took extreme risks to satisfy her invisible teachers, only to be neglected.
Rejected.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I need glasses. Rejected for being their faithful student. It was a life destined for regret, failure, and unforgiveness. As you take the untamed wild child into your heart, you will be inspired about what she's discovered, about the truth she finally found. So when you say something like, where is that one line that stood out at me in that? I guess there's too many desperate choices. Mm-hmm. What you're talking about?
Well, the first choice was my first abortion at 16, and it was my mom's desperate choice. I didn't even know what the word abortion meant at that time. I was planning on marrying the father because I thought I loved him. And something happened that day when I finally told my mom, and I was about 3 months in by that time.
So you were fighting with the boy, or
he just didn't come down with me to tell my mom, and my mom took over, and I just said, okay, whatever, and instantly never saw the man again. I never saw him again. I only knew him for 4 months. I shouldn't have been with him. I was only 16. He was 23. My mother just permitted. She was a permissive mom. She would leave me downstairs at night and go up to bed with this guy on the couch. No, my dad was in New Jersey. And I hated my dad for a long, long time, and until my life changed. And, I found the changing power of Jesus Christ, opened my eyes.
But your mother and father didn't have a good relationship.
No, they were divorced when I was 12. So when we moved with my grandparents. And my mom went to work, and basically, we just ran roughshod over them, my grandparents, and my mother wasn't around. And so I just began to get involved. The first thing I started doing was shoplifting and, walking the streets and smoking. And my mom said, well, I don't want you smoking out here, so smoke in the house. Like, she just didn't have a clue. You know what I mean? And smoking pot by the time I also started at 16, smoked that for 15 straight years, even in the hospital with my first child that I allowed to live. Because, as the book will tell you, I've had 5 abortions, and a very pro-choice person. I had them over a 10-year period. So it wasn't like I was some person that was getting in bed with every Tom, Dick, and Harry. I didn't have a relationship with men. I was on and off. And so that's why I didn't, it'll talk about in the book why I didn't take birth control.
No, but I found this very interesting. You go to your mother the first pregnancy, mm-hmm. and you tell her, I'm pregnant, and, he was supposed to be here to tell you, and he's not here. Mm-hmm. And your mom automatically says, that's okay, I'll take care of it?
No, she said I saw her get upset about it and angry, which is something I never saw before. And she said, she told me she had had, when she was a kid, she got pregnant and how she dealt with it. But abortion wasn't legal. So, she felt as though she was pregnant and tried to take care of it herself. But no, she...
Did she have that child?
No. And then she said, she tried to make me feel better about getting pregnant. But then she said, there's three things you can do. If we can have the child, which would not be good for me, because she was always upset about having to spend money, having no money, and putting my dad down for not sending money. She said, she ended up having three choices. Or we can go to Mexico at night, because it wasn't legal then, or you can go to England, where it is legal. Because she had
connections.
She had consulted. I think she knew. This thought just came to me. I think she knew ahead of time, because my sister might have told her that I was pregnant. I thought I was telling her for the first time. But she had already consulted my pastor, and my pastor was involved with a coalition with rabbis to help women get abortions.
So
Presbyterian
Presbyterian pastor. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Jewish rabbis.
And Jewish rabbis had a coalition. It's in my book, the name of the coalition back then. I don't think they have it anymore. But she said you could go to Philadelphia and go to counseling for a while, and that would take a little time, and you'd probably miss school. And so she came up with the idea for me to go to England and have the abortion and have my sister go. And I didn't know she was afraid to fly. So my sister went, who was 6 years older than me, and I went right there. I went in and had the abortion and I didn't realize what day it was. It was my birthday, 17th birthday.
So you're telling me that this was actually set up between pastors and rabbis and your mother?
Yes. Yeah. I don't remember exactly that day that I told her and how that, but I know that I remember her getting upset, taking control, which she never did, trying to lead me into doing what she wanted me to do.
And she did.
And she was a Christian, and she went to church all her life. So we didn't bring God into it. We wanted to be our own gods, evidently.
Well, of course, when you have a pastor and rabbis that are, okay with it, then you're going to say, oh, I guess this is all right.
Right. So when I got pregnant again over the years, I put together the same thinking, and then it was starting to be legal. And I would go into these abortion clinics all over the country because I sang. I went all over the country singing and, you know, in bands, two different bands out of Kansas City. And, you know, I'd go into an abortion clinic. First, I'd toil about it every time. I'd make a phone call to somebody. Are you sure it's not a baby? I never even thought to look at the library, go in the library and look to see how big the baby was, or was it really the blob of tissue everybody was saying?
Well, I think back then, I mean, what years are we talking here?
We're talking, let's see, 76 to 80, about. Where's the, well, I got pregnant again when I was like 19 with the boyfriend around here. Mm. And I remember going to Seals and Crofts concert up in Scranton, and they were against abortion, and I was ready to go have mine by Dr. Bernard Nathanson in New York City, who had written a book, who had aborted I don't know how many children and realized it was wrong, found the Lord and wrote a book called Aborting America. They came out against it and said, if you're ready to have an abortion, please don't, but I went and did it anyway.
Did they have pictures and stuff laid out?
No, that's not when I saw it. I never saw a picture until 1981 or 82.
And now today we have 3D ultrasounds. So back when you're talking, there weren't these 3D ultrasounds that show.
No. Every time somebody just said it's only, I would say, are you sure it's not a baby? It's only a blob of tissue. Don't worry about it.
Your book is not just based on abortions it's about more, correct?
Oh, gosh. Yes.
All right. We're going to talk about more of that coming up. The name of the book, it's available on Amazon, by the way, right?
Yes.
It is Society's Child, The Truth About the Lies, a memoir by Deborah A. Daniels-Schweitzer.
This is the Nikki Stone Show podcast.
Some of my favorite musicians are having birthdays today. One of them, Stevie Nicks. She was born on this date in 1948. Hmm. Yeah, it's hard to believe.
So is my son, Christian.
And today?
35 years old today. Christian, yes.
Very nice. Your son. Oh, that's, mm-hmm. And 35?
Yep.
So that's 19. I can't do math anymore.
1987.
Deborah. 19. And how old are you, Deb?
I'm going to be 70 in September.
We're talking about the days of peace, love, and hippies. Yep. The summer the summer of love when you know anything goes.
Let's hitchhike around the country by myself.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Couple times.
And had like a very young age. Like today, you'd be lucky to come home alive if you did that.
Oh, I know.
And you think about the serial killers. There was even like serial killers.
Hey, my mom used to put me on a bus when I was 13 to go visit my sister in Kansas. And I would it was a 24-hour trip by myself at 13.
So you're lucky you were only pregnant and not a prostitute, I think, right?
What?
I said, you're lucky you only got pregnant and you didn't become a prostitute.
Yes.
Because
I came close to that, too.
I was watching yesterday on WNEP and I couldn't, for some reason, the internet wouldn't let me watch the whole show, but the experience, they were showing that girl in Bloomsburg that had disappeared, Corinna, just a couple of years ago, Karina Slusser.
Yeah.
She had disappeared. She went to New York with these guys. She had been keeping in touch with her mom. They're pretty sure she got into the sex slave industry. Yeah. She called her mom one day and said she wanted to come home, and that was the last time her mother ever heard from her.
I was picked up by a couple truck drivers, and there's a funny story in here about him taking me back to his trailer. So I could sleep over, and go off the next day. And I don't know if you read that part in my book about him coming in and, you know, wanting to. And I said, because I was a hardcore. I knew how to use my authority, and in my mouth, I scared the guy away from me.
Okay.
He tried twice, to come into the room that he left me in, and then he went and dropped the truck and came back. Oh, come on, baby, just want a little sugar, baby. I was putting myself in such ridiculously dangerous and never knew it, because we have that invincible stage when we're young. And that's what my book shows. It talks about, the divorce and then going to school and getting bullied and then the self-esteem when I had to stay back because I was bullied all year long and fought, you know, with the teachers, please move me. And they didn't. And my self-esteem just went down the toilet. And then it was like, where can I get friends? And then I ended up being a bully. And it just went on from there to, you know, from the divorce to the moving. It's just a slippery slope of that kind of life where you just kind of like are on your own, besides the fact that I had a brother that was abusing me at the same time. So
it was a whole
layer. Physically, not sexually.
Right, layer upon layer. He'd beat you up.
He would treat me really badly. Yeah.
Yeah. And you were the youngest.
As the years went by, because he used to be a good friend, you know, but to me, but then, you know, someone said, you're the head of the household now that your father's not around. And he was only a year older than me. And he would just, you know, sometimes just punch me right out, you know.
And is that because children learn what they live?
I don't know where he got that. And over the years, I tried, as a Christian, tried to reach out to him many times and to...
And he doesn't have forgiveness.
I really don't know, because I just finally gave up.
Where does he live?
Well, he passed away a few months ago, I guess.
So
he lived in Shavertown.
Do you feel like there's no closure in that?
No. No.
You're okay with it?
Oh my gosh, yes, because I tried so many times. You know, I wrote a book about us, a little book showing, you know, that, and in the last of the pages, I love, no matter what happened, I love you and forgive you. Let's just go. And I heard that when I gave him that book, he threw it out. He didn't even read it.
But sometimes people can't forgive themselves. It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
It has more to do with them.
Yeah. I still don't know. I'm very good with his friend. So
they don't like to admit that they have problems either. Mm-hmm. If he was like one of those, why can't I think of words today? You know, the people only think about narcissists, if he was like a narcissist.
I don't know, because everybody thought he was a wonderful person. And to my sister and I, no. But that's, I don't want to even.
And was he married?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just asking. Yeah. I'm just curious. Now, when you read the description of this book, it says this from another person that had reviewed it for you. They say this book is a lot of things, gritty, nasty, foul, heartbreaking. Diamond Deb spares no one, most especially herself. Rarely will you get to read the good, the bad, and the I don't think I would have told that one. So
daring
to bring the light of clarity to the kindred
innards
of the fortunate
reader. That's Bert Rosenberg. He is a Christian comedian. He used to be a Jew.
Ooh,
and
okay.
He has been out there. That's all he's ever done, really. Just goes around.
And is he somebody you met on the road that you knew? And how did you get him to read it?
I met him at a conference, and he made me laugh. And anybody that made me laugh, I would try to engage them as a friend.
And excuse my reading on that, but it's like it's a dark back and smaller writing. So
yeah,
and you did offer me your glasses, but I have trifocals at home. I cannot wear; they give me a headache. So yeah. I don't know. I think I just
that's
have
okay.
to go get reading glasses at the Dollar General.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back after this break. I am Nikki Stone with the author of the book Society's Child: The Truth About the Lies, Deborah A. Daniels Schweitzer.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Nikki Stone Show podcast.
I am joined in the studio by the author of a book called Society's Child, The Truth About the Lies. She's from West Pittston. Yes, she grew up partially around here. And where else were you before you came here?
Well, I got married to a man 22 years older than me when I was 22, moved to Minnesota.
So you were born here in Northeast PA?
Yes, I was born in 44, moved to Jersey, grew up in Jersey, was having a great life and a beautiful home and a great school in town, Mountainside, New Jersey. And then my parents, you know, there was adultery and they got divorced and moved us up here to be with my grandparents in West Pittston. So a lot changed, especially since I stayed back. I got here when I was in eighth grade, stayed back in ninth grade from the bullying. And
So they bullied you here in Northeast PA.
Yeah, there was just a kid.
That was one of their favorite.
It was just one kid. It was just one kid that wouldn't let up on me about the brown spots on my teeth. And I was very impressionable and very sensitive.
You don't have brown spots on your teeth.
Not now. No, thanks to good dentistry.
Oh, that's very good. Was that caused by a medicine you took when you were a child?
No, it was from a high fever, and that's what he did. He called me fever. And then he got everybody to start laughing at me, and then I couldn't think of my work, and I couldn't think of anything else. And I just, my grades, because I was, my grades were great up until then.
Yeah. And then it takes one kid that can pick on you all the time. Yeah. But I got picked on when I was in school, too. We won't discuss about what. Mm. But it honestly, I think, pushed me to made me strive to do better.
Yeah.
For some, like, that's just the person I am. But now, to this day, I don't think I do enough, work hard enough, try hard enough. You know, so there's always some kind of residual effect.
But anyway, this abortion issue right now is pretty hot, you know. Reversing Roe versus Wade, I think the things that we need to look at as a people and as a worldview is what is actually happening.
Well, now, somebody said here, and this child. Is Kevin and Berwick did say, I'm sorry, but the thought of 5 abortions in 10 years is repulsive, heinous even. Mm-hmm. And we know that now, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would love to read a little portion of the book that talks about when I realized what was actually going on and wasn't being, you know, when I found the truth. And the only reason I found the truth was because someone stood in our church and confessed and had somebody famous came and said she had an abortion. And I thought, well, I think I'm going to go tell her. I've never told anybody. Because you know what? Even though you're pro-choice, I think there was still shame. I still had shame. But I had already met the Lord a year before she came. And I already knew that he'd forgiven me. And that's what I want to help people do, is to find that forgiveness. Because once they realize what the truth is, they do regret and they have shame. They hurt inside. And so a year later, and she came, and I told her that I had an abortion. She said, well, talk to me a little bit. Said, go and pick up some stuff on the table there. Well, when I went over at the table and saw what I saw, I'd love to read that portion.
All right. Well, we'll do that after the next break. Now, I want to point out right now before we go to break, when Kevin says 5 abortions in 10 years is repulsive, tell him about other people you met and knew.
Oh, gosh. I'd go into the abortion clinics and the girls would be sitting around. One girl told me she had 19. Because back then, I think that people were using it as a form of birth control. Many people had way more than I had. And it sat there. And that makes me feel better. Because I always would toil with the decision. One time I called my brother-in-law, who was a minister, and I said, oh, my gosh, you know, I said, what should I do? What should I do? He said, just like in the last scripture in Judges, it says, just do what's right in your own eyes, Deb. Just do what you think is best for you. And, what was best for me, what I found out when I finally did have a child was that, oh, my God, this is amazing. This is a wonderful thing. I completely said, how could any woman, do this,
Well, especially, though, after, I would think after you gave birth. Okay, we'll continue our discussion. Get ready to read that next portion, the portion you wanted to read as well. We are in the studio with West Pittston resident Deborah A. Daniel Schweitzer, the author of the book Society's Child, The Truth About the Lies.
This is the Nikki Stone Show podcast.
And Deborah A. Daniel Schweitzer in the studio with me today.
Thank you. Yes.
And you can begin. Go ahead.
About a year into this new Christian life of mine, something happened again to complete some unfinished business Jesus and I had. Growing in Jesus is a process, and my new daddy God had great timing for that. One Sunday, the pastor had invited a special speaker to come and talk to the church about abortion. She even talked about her own abortion. I couldn't believe it. She stood up there and openly revealed to everyone that she had had an abortion. This is back in the 80s. Wasn't she embarrassed? I listened intently to every word she spoke and soon started to feel uneasy. After all, I was the chief of sinners in that department. I had had 5 abortions, but really, I hadn't even thought about it lately. I decided I would go and tell her that I had abortions too, since I was confident she wouldn't condemn me. I had to admit, it felt really good to tell someone. She thanked me, I thanked her, and she suggested I go pick up some materials at the table. Little did I know that God was about to do some major surgery on me this time. I walked over to look at the brochures and pamphlets she displayed. There were pictures of aborted babies right in front of my eyes. Some of them were in buckets, big ones, little ones, burned ones, with legs and arms and pieces with blood all around. I tried to catch my breath. I thought I was going to faint. I heard her talk that day, but for some reason her talk didn't really faze me until I saw the pictures. The real truth of what I had done was what I allowed to do. What others had encouraged me to do and what I had taken part in was hitting me in the face like a baseball bat. I felt instantly condemned. I froze. My thoughts were all over the place. Pictures flashed in my mind of all the people who were involved in the years I had allowed all this to happen. I started getting angry at them. They all lied to me. All the people told me my pregnancies didn't mean anything because it was just a blob of tissue. For God's sakes, it was a baby. What had I done? I began to sob uncontrollably, and as I continued to look, the heaviness and the guilt were becoming unbearable, condemning me as the murderer I finally discovered that I was. I was being tormented for what seemed like hours as I stood there paralyzed and in shock. Then I heard the voice again, my comforter, my father, right there, once again, to fight for me, his daughter. God spoke to me and clearly said, Debbie, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things are new. I knew that scripture, and I took it.
I love that scripture. That is absolutely beautiful. Someone had texted in and said, 19 abortions, that's truly an abomination. And then another text, young people make mistakes, but that girl better hope there's no hell, 19 abortions.
No, here's, I'm forgiven.
Yeah, she's talking about the one with the 19, but even, 5, it seems like a lot. And there is one thing that we need to know is in the Bible, God does talk about forgiveness.
Yes.
And when he's asked, how many times should I forgive, what does he say? 7 times 7 times 70.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is almost an infinite
number. When you ask for forgiveness, he gives you forgiveness if you're sincere. But you know what? It's an abomination for 19. What's the difference between having one? Isn't that an abomination?
Well, I would think so. And you know, and people don't see it that way. But we live in a very conflicted society. And not to make any judgments, like I would never judge anybody for doing something like that.
No, me either.
So yeah,
how could I?
Well, because you could be a hypocrite, like the rest of the world is. I mean, one minute they're talking about, you know, people don't care enough about the lives of some children, but then they don't care how many abortions. Mm. Like they talk about gun laws and then don't want to talk about the abortions.
Yeah, and really, you know what? The elderly are next, Nikki. No. The elderly are next.
Next, or is it already happening?
Yeah.
Some questions that you have to ask. And Nikki, good morning. Let this lady know if she sells her book and Audible or Amazon buys, and she reads it, it would be more that they'd be more than happy to buy it, Derek. So we were just talking about she needs to do an Audible book. She's going to work on that soon,
yes.
I think. And she should read it because she does have that very pleasant, easy to listen to voice. She does tell me that at one point in her career, she worked in radio.
Yes, I worked for Jim Ward, WARD. I did all the copy. I wrote the copy. Perform the copy, do accents and stuff, and I put them on the cart and put them in things.
I'm just amazed that you live to do anything because of hitchhiking across the country and some of the stories that you tell. And Society's Child, it wasn't just to bring to light abortion. That's not the only reason that you wrote it.
No.
Well, we'll talk about those other reasons right after this.
This is the Nikki Stone Show podcast.
And I have another singer in the studio with me. She's not only an author, she's a multi-talented lady. She's made it through some very rough times from a parent who had
no parental supervision.
Yes, and a bad divorce going on.
Happens a lot, happens to so many.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame.
But I think sometimes parents don't even realize what they're doing to their kids under certain circumstances. And I speak that through the experience that I had a son who is having a seizures, and my husband was an over-the-road truck driver, and while my son was having seizures, you know, my daughter was just 2 years older than him, I didn't realize how that affected her. And then it was affecting her, and this is where I know that when you say Society's Child, there's a difference between society and the village. The village is failing, society has taken over, and society is scary. But let's talk about your singing.
Oh,
so you've made your rounds as a singer?
Yes. At Kansas City, I was trying to learn how to sing jazz, and I had a jazz teacher, and she fired me because I forgot to go to the things.
No.
There was a lot of drugs involved, and but I was with a group called Star Kite, another group, and we'd go around, and then I came home here and won an audition with Exact Change, but I was only with them for a few months. Even though I was out there doing it, I still don't know how I did it because I replaced a soprano and I'm an alto. So,
oh, and they wanted a soprano.
Yeah, and
though.
I couldn't handle it anymore. They couldn't change the keys. Nowadays, it's easy to do it.
Yeah.
I was just singing recently out there in clubs doing oldies. We were the classics. Maybe some people remember. We did some oldies for a year or two with Frank Galloardi, a great piano player who is now deceased.
Aww.
And, yeah.
So you're looking for somebody to play with now?
Oh, I would love to. Yes, I would love to because I sing like Diana Krall, but people say I sound like Karen Carpenter. So I sing a lot of her.
Let's hear a little, and then we got to go. I lost Luciano. We are taking your phone calls. In fact, we're going into the 11 o'clock hour. And after 11, if you have something you want to say, something you want to talk about, something you'd like to share, feel free to call in 570-883-0098. Let's hear what you have to sing.
I thought of the song Because of the Babies. It says, it's a Karen Carpenter song. Mm-hmm. Say, I'll say goodbye to love. No one ever cared if I should live or die. Time and time again, the chance for love has passed me by. And all I know of love is how to live without it. I just can't seem to find it.
You do sound like Karen Carpenter. Anybody else agree? 570-883-0098. Somebody's saying they should make everyone watch a video or look at the pictures she saw before they go ahead. And now they even have even greater pictures. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can, you know... Yes, for a long time, a lot of people knew that abortion was wrong. But there was also that lie that was being fed saying it's just a medical procedure. It's not a baby.
Oh, it's healthcare now. It's called healthcare. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Women's health. And it's
now
also
my
your
taxes
right.
have to pay for it.
And now it's your right as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, yes, I agree. Sometimes it can be healthcare depending on if a mother's life is at risk.
Yes.
All right.
Definitely.
But if you are choosing to use it for 19 abortions, 11 abortions. I mean, you've probably seen the gamut of people with all different numbers.
You know, I have to say, sometimes I knew I was going to end up getting pregnant, and I tried not to. And I have to say this, and a lot of people
how
probably
did you
won't,
try not to? Like,
a lot. Well, I'll tell you,
keeping your legs closed is the best way to do
that.
That's
the best
way. I'm sorry.
That's the best way. Something about going into a bathtub, but. The thing is like a lot of people won't agree with me that it are against abortion, but I believe that morning after pill, if it's safe, if it's not going to hurt your body, I mean, that would be, you know, if you're going to have unprotected sex and
I don't know, but my
risk.
Question is, what else is that doing to the body? Well, you can buy that. You can walk in Target and get it right now without
really?
An ID.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I should be telling people. I hope there's nobody under a certain age.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Nikki, oh my God, great voice, singing as well. Yeah, I get the Karen Carpenter likeness, so they're texting in. Yeah. Oh, then I'm going to go to the phone. Can I? Is Bill waiting to talk to me? Okay. I'm making sure because it wasn't clearly marked. I was hoping you wanted, you don't really want to talk to me. You want to talk to my gal here, right? Deborah A. Daniel Schweitzer.
Right.
Right. Okay. What do you have to say, Bill?
I just wanted to say how moving her story is. I'm very pro-life, but she's further made me realize we have to do more for these children. I hope everybody gets to hear that story. It was just so moving, and I'm grateful that you put her on. I wish Bob Casey could have heard that, and in the descriptions of everything.
I think some people with similar stories have gone before Congress and they are just evil and they don't care. I think what we need to do is get her in front of more high school students.
Mm-hmm. I used to do that. Betty Caffrey, the Right to Life, found out about my story, 38 years ago and put me at a lot of Catholic schools, awareness days, on panels with lawyers, and other people so that I could tell my story.
And you would talk at youth groups and stuff like
youth
that
groups.
As well.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go back and start doing that again. And I can go and sing. I can read part of my story. I can bring my book. You know, I am selling it so that I can buy more. And then when the Lord shows me to give it to someone, to hand it to someone, just, you know, give it off. And It's not that I've been a pro-lifer. I've been, this is exactly the way I feel. Sometimes I'll put a little card in my book and I'll say, you know what? If we can lead people to Christ and they find the relationship with Jesus, not a religion, a relationship, they won't want to have abortions. They won't want to have them.
Right. You're right.
So that's where I'm at.
And Bill,
well, I thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
Bill, do you stand on the side of the story because somebody in your life might have done that behind your back, or is it just something that you firmly believe?
Our first child died as a stillborn at 8.5 months.
And,
realization of how precious life is and watching other people that really want to have a baby and
the
things that they go through. And I was a Lutheran minister and I watched two babies that died giving birth and I baptized them before they died, but that was a moving experience for me as well. But this story really, really, really touched me. So, and how can I get the book?
Amazon.com. Just put in the title with the second line, The Truth About the Lies, and you'll find it.
Society's Child, The Truth About the Lies.
I drew the picture on the cover myself. My friend...
You did? Oh, it's a great picture. Oh, it's fantastic. You are so talented. I can't believe this. There was an article in the Times Leader about her on
Sunday.
And I'll share what I can on Facebook later, too.
We're going to do a Facebook. Nikki and I are going to do a Facebook
live.
Ad. Wonderful.
We're going to do some Facebook stuff.
I mean, I just released it, and I really didn't get anything ready to market it too well. So I'm so grateful for Nikki to get me on today.
Not a problem. It isn't. I love
it. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you for bringing. I'll tell you, this was very moving. I can't even describe it.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, Bill.
Thank you. I do.
And we'll take more calls. Thanks. Call again. 570-883-0098. Now, I believe this news ready. The news is ready to roll. We will be back to discuss more. Deborah is going to stick around in the studio. It's Society's Child, The Truth About the Lies, available on Amazon. And we'll just discuss some more things, maybe how today's world lines up with the world you grew up with as well. So we don't bore you all. Somebody just texted in and said, you know, most of these school shooters were bullied in school. Also, life is actually pretty nasty for many, and we all have to help stop the bullying. The thing is, we all, too, though, to a certain extent, life happens and we learn, and it's all part of our journey. So we all have to stay strong and don't let it all steal our joy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.